Blog Talk Radio.
WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits.
Christian. And so his dad was not a believer. In fact, his dad was kind of a rough guy. And so if you look at our family line, we're actually Vikings. And so my heritage is actually, you know, village pillaging and sheep stealing. And so when my grandpa decided to become a believer, that changed the trajectory of our family line. So even my grandpa, before he was saved, you know, was not necessarily the nicest guy. And then once he became a believer, that literally began to change everything. And so my grandpa got saved, and all of his friends immediately didn't like him anymore. His coworkers started hiding his tools and such at work. And so my grandpa wouldn't know where his tools are at, and he would have to pray and ask the Lord, and the Lord would show him. And that's how he began his Word of Knowledge ministry. And then my grandpa started pastoring the church where I'm at back in the mid-60s, about 1965, or shortly thereafter. My dad came in and began pastoring alongside of his dad in the late 70s. And then in 1997, my dad resigned pastoral ministry, began traveling to the nations. And for myself, I said that I would never be a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. I wanted to be a filmmaker, and then I wanted to be a musician. And so I swore that I would never be a pastor. And then the Lord spoke to me and called me into ministry in about 2003. I was in Indonesia doing some ministry with my dad. And a pastor confronted me and said, "Where are you pastoring?" I said, "I'm not a pastor." And he said, "Yes, you are." And I said, "No, I'm not." And that just continued to take place. I received two other prophetic words about pastoral ministry, and the Lord was really starting to get my attention. When I came back to Seattle, I met with my pastor and said, "Hey, the Lord's speaking to me about pastoral ministry." And my pastor said, "Yep, I know, and the elders here know, and we've been waiting for you to hear from God." And so in 2009, I became the pastor at Seattle Revival Center, the very same place where my dad pastored and my grandpa pastored. And so I've been going 7.5 years, and there's been a grace on it. And the church is a very vibrant church. People are getting saved. They're coming to know Jesus. And we're hosting revival, and we're having a lot of fun. So that's kind of a big story, kind of in a nutshell. But that's kind of the introduction to how things got started for me.
Well, let me ask you this, Pastor. When you say that you was the pastor since 2009, has it always been under that name, Seattle Revival Center?
No, so I'll give you some history for the Revival Center. So we were originally called Lakebourne Christian Center. And in the early 90s, my dad was burnt out. He was done with pastoral ministry. He was about to resign. And my grandpa said to him, "Hey, Daryl, I don't think you're done yet. I hear that there's a revival that's breaking out in Toronto. If you'll go, I'll pay your way." And so my dad said, "Well, hey, okay, I'll go check it out." So there was a Four Square church just right down the street from ours. In fact, when people would leave our church, they would go to the Four Square church. And
yes.
And that pastor, his name was Steve Richard, and he was in the same boat. He was done with pastoral ministry. He was burnt out. And so my dad said to Steve, "Hey, I'm going to Toronto. You want to come with me?" And so these two pastors that just pastored churches just literally a mile apart went to Toronto together and got touched of the Lord. When they came back, they met up with a third pastor, Wayne Anderson, who was pastoring a church called the International Church. And when people would leave Steve's church, they'd go to Wayne's church. Well, Wayne had just gotten back from Toronto. So all of a sudden, here are three different churches that have just been touched of the Lord, and they came together. They came together, and that's what became the Seattle Revival Center in October of 1994. So the Seattle Revival Center was not originally a local church. It was a parachurch composed of three core churches and as many as five other churches that would also associate with the move. It was a move of God that went
amazing.
It was very sovereign. It was very holy. It went from 94 to 97, three churches coming together. Now in 97, that move came to an end. Those three pastors decided to transition out of their local churches and go into ministry more in the nations and in the U.S. So they transitioned their churches over with the hope of the revival continuing, but the guys that replaced them didn't necessarily have the call to continue the revival. So the revival actually came to an end, and at that time, it was kind of a lot of other stuff started to come to the surface. As you know, when the fire of God starts to burn, dross comes to the surface. And so the fire of God was burning, and awesome things were taking place, but also issues were beginning to surface. And so when that move came to an end at the Seattle Revival Center, unfortunately, at that time, my parents went through a divorce. And our church, what was Lake Bourne Christian Center, went down to about 20 people. My mom and I ended up leaving the church and began church shopping, which I'm not a big fan of. And it was a very, you know, I would have been just starting my junior year of high school, and I went to school. Our church had a school in it. So now for the first time in my life, I was going to have to find a new church, find a new school. And I was just very, very, very broken. And our church began going through a bunch of different pastors. And now, like I said, we had left our church, but these different pastors were coming in, changing the name of the church, trying to kind of get away from the identity of the past with the revival and everything. And then in 1999, the Lord spoke to my pastor, and this is crazy. She was divorced, and she was a woman. She was in Australia doing ministry in Australia. The Lord spoke to her and said, "I'm not done there in Seattle. I have a revival there, and I have a harvest in store for that house." So she came back. And the Assemblies of God credentialed her because we were an Assemblies church. So she was the only divorced woman pastor in the Northwest District at that time. And she came in, and she began rebuilding with 20 people. And what she did is she called me up on the phone. She asked for a meeting with me. I was very hurt, very broken. I was very bitter. I met with her just out of respect for her. And she said, "Darren, I want to apologize to you. I want to repent." And I said, "Why? You never did anything wrong to me or my family." She said, "Because somebody needs to stand in the gap. Somebody needs to repent to you for the stuff that you experienced." And I said, "Okay, well, I forgive you." And I had no idea what I was actually doing. But when I forgave her, I opened up my heart for the Lord to come and to begin to move in my heart, because I had literally walked away from the church. Even though I'd go and attend churches with my mom, in my own heart, I was kind of done with the church, and I was very judgmental of Christians and pastors. Like, literally, being a pastor was the last thing I ever wanted to do. Like I was just done, you know? So Gail came back. That was my pastor's name, Pastor Gail. She came back, and she changed the name back to Seattle Revival Center. But this time, instead of being a parachurch of three different churches, it was actually going to be a local church called Seattle Revival Center. And that church today has core leaders from those three churches. And so we are Seattle Revival. Yep, we are Seattle Revival Center. And we now have around 600 people that call the church home. We have over 210 commitments to small groups within our church. We are hosting revival meetings every weekend. Last weekend we hosted 224 meetings last year, including Sunday morning in our revival meetings. People are getting saved. They're getting healed. We've seen stage 4 cancer healed. We've seen blind eyes open, ears pop. open. We've seen scoliosis healed multiple times. God is doing really, really cool stuff. And in all places, he's doing it in Seattle, Washington, which is pretty cool.
That is so exciting. So what I'm hearing from you, Pastor, is that God did an amazing work back in 1997. Wait a minute, let me go to my notes. Okay, October of 1994, he did this great work of revival and brought the, or is it 2004, where he brought the three churches together to form the Seattle Revival Center. It worked for about 3 years, and then the enemy come in and kind of targeted everybody and kind of knocked out the leadership. Am I hearing you right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, then this woman is over in Australia, and the Lord tells her, I'm not done with that place, and goes back and kind of reestablishes it, kind of like an apostle. And then God raises you up for such a time as this to take this place and run with it. Is that, am I hearing you right?
Yep, that's correct.
That is so amazing. Is your father still alive?
So my father passed away in July of this last year, so July 6th of 2016.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Actually, he was just leaving Indonesia and flying to the Ukraine with his wife when he had an unexpected heart attack. But that's the way he wanted to go. The way that he wanted to go. He was doing ministry all the way up until the end, and he really gave his life for the nations. He really was a prophet. He really had a cutting edge glory anointing on his life, and the Lord used him to do incredible stuff in Indonesia, really to help launch a revival in Indonesia back in 2000, 2001, when churches were being burned down by radical Islamic, fundamentalists during that time. So the churches were small. There was a lot of fear. And my dad went in there, and literally revival started breaking out. And churches that were once, 200 people quickly began to grow to 15, 20, 25,000 people within 5 to 10 years. I mean, radical growth. And so my wife and I and our family, we went to Indonesia in October to meet up with those people that were doing life with my dad, because it had been since 2003. So that was amazing. One of the pastors that prophesied over me, and he told me about my grandpa's ministry, about my father's ministry. He told me about my ministry. He prophesied to me about who my wife would be, about who my children would be. And he prophesied, you're going to come back to Indonesia, but you won't come with your dad. And so literally I went back to Indonesia and said, every word that you prophesied has come to pass. Here's my wife, Andrea. Here are my children. And I've been pastoring for 7.5 years. Every word that you prophesied has come to pass. And I want to thank you for being obedient, and thank you for releasing that word. It radically changed my life. And that's the thing about the prophetic. True prophetic ministry will absolutely transform people's lives.
Yes. That is so exciting. I know you missed your father when you was over there telling him this, but it had to feel like such an honor. You know what I mean? Like, to know that God is orchestrating everything in your life. That is such an amazing feeling.
Yeah, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And once I really surrendered my life to the Lord and said, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge you in all my ways and truly surrender and truly say yes. Once I did, the Lord really came in and began directing my steps. And it's his grace, I love the kindness of God. I want my life to reek of the kindness of God.
Oh, amen to that. Well, let's move on now. Okay, so there's probably pastors that are listening to this broadcast that are kind of in the shoes that you was in, where you actually kind of picked up a mantle of a previous ministry, okay? You picked up a mantle of a previous ministry, and you're moving forward with obeying the Lord. So what I want to ask you is this. Okay, how hard is it to step into somebody else's vision and to have God to make that your own vision and be able to be individual with it and run with it from there? Do you see what I'm saying, Pastor?
Yeah, you know, for me, the serving alongside of Pastor Gail and serving her vision, it was such an honor. Pastor Gill truly modeled apostolic ministry, the true integrity in apostolic ministry, which, you know, apostolic ministry really is about serving. It's basically getting the blueprint of heaven, and then seeing that established on the earth through being a magnet on the earth and drawing key people to a locale, and then in the heart of serving them, knitting them together so that that heavenly blueprint can be established on the earth. That can only really happen through relationship and through the heart of servanthood. So if she had kind of an old school paradigm for apostolic ministry, which was that I'm going to draw people around me in order to make me great, in order to make my name known, then Seattle Revival Center would not be Seattle Revival Center today. It would be radically different. So what she did is she came in like a Nehemiah. She began rebuilding the walls. She began rebuilding a people, and then she followed that blueprint. She followed the blueprint down to the T. By transitioning the church over to myself, we were told by our denomination that we would lose 20% of our people because people go to a church because of the pastor, not because of the vision, typically. And so they said, you're going to lose 20% of your church. And that was not the case. We only lost one family, and they left the church, and then they ended up coming back to the church, and they are still a part of the church today. And the reason why is, because Pastor Gail built a model around a vision instead of around her personality. And so the vision that she had was to establish an apostolic center on a foundation of the Father's love. And the Father's love became the foundation for everything that we were doing. And she sold the vision instead of selling her charismatic personality. And what happened was, because of that, because when people got to see that I carried the same heart and values as my pastor, then they knew that that this thing wasn't contingent on Gail. Therefore, when she was removed from the equation, people still believed in Seattle Revival Center, not because Gail was coming or going, but because the vision and the values, they were going to stay the same. And so I think that the model is changing from gathering around a person or a personality. We're beginning to gather around the presence of the Lord and the DNA of a local center, so that people are empowered to come and go, and that people will continue to gather because they believe in the vision of the house.
Yes. That is awesome. Okay, Pastor, listen, we're going to shift a little bit to the nation. Now, you are over in the west part of the United States, and I would love to hear from your cultural standpoint, what do you think happened in our nation last year, and how is that going to affect us in 2017? What would you say?
Well, that's a good question. I think that the majority of people, they find their inner peace, if you will, they find their peace of mind based off of external events. And so that would be the economy. When the economy gets shaken, then that shakes the heart of man. When a natural government starts going through shaking, people start feeling anxious inside, and they wonder, is everything going to be okay? So oftentimes people's soul is so tethered to our natural governmental system and our natural economic system, because that communicates power and control within society. So
right.
The dangerous thing has been that many people in the church, their heart is tethered to the same economic and political structure as people outside of the church. So that when God begins to shake the economy and God begins to shake a natural government, it not only shakes unbelievers and their own standing within the world, but it also shakes the church. And I think that a dramatic shift is taking place right now. And actually, I think that it started actually last year, and it's been taking place in the last few years. I think the difference is this, is that the people of God are starting to realize that their citizenship is primarily to the kingdom of heaven, and that our king is not President Obama or President Trump.
Right.
Our king is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Therefore, we are operating according to a countercultural system of values. So that when everybody says to curse those who curse you, we are blessing those who curse us. When everybody is saying an eye for an eye, we are willing to give our lives for the very people that seem to be crucifying us. You see, there's been kind of a legalistic paradigm in the church where if you look at Facebook and if you look at the battle mode that the church has been in, it's pulled us out of a place of rest, so that a lot of our cultural activity and even a lot of our kingdom activity is coming more out of a place of angst instead of a place of rest. So here's the thing about what I feel like the Lord is doing in the church right now. He's realigning our values so that our own mind, our will, and our emotions, our soul, isn't tethered to this economic system of the world. It's not tethered to the political structure of this world, so that no matter what happens, the bride of Christ is engaging with the Isaiah 60 mandate that even when great darkness covers the earth, even as thick darkness comes upon the people of God in that place will actually arise, they will shine, they will be seen with the light of heaven, that the brightness of God is going to come over a people, and that we are going to be a contrasting people. So this is very, very important. If the world is getting angry, very, very angry, and the church is just as angry, we're not a contrasting people. We're just a mirror of the culture, but what's fueling our anger is different. So we can't be a mirror of the culture. The church has to be a contrasting presence on the earth, which means this, that when anger is filling the hearts of unbelievers because of what's happening in the natural government, within the people of God, they will be hosting the shalom of heaven. They will be hosting the government, not of the government of the United States of America, the people of God will be hosting the government of God on the earth, which means this, that when anger and rage and anarchy and lawlessness begins to sweep over the earth, there are a contrasting people that are peace of God. They are the righteous, and they are operating according to the economy of heaven, the rest of heaven, and the contrast will be so evident that people in the world will say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa! How can you not be shaken by these things that are shaking everybody? The nations are being shaken." So So I do not see President Trump bringing in a time of great peace for our nation. I believe Lance Wall now got it absolutely right. I think that President Trump is going to be like a wrecking ball for our nation. He's a disruptor, and he is literally disrupting everything right now. And I think that people are getting shaken. And I think that even Christians are getting shaken right now. And my encouragement to the body of Christ is this. If you have fear in your heart, if you have fear in your soul, and if when you're watching the TV and listening to the radio, you're getting filled with fear and rage, and there's a sense of chaos, then you need to turn off those external sources. You need to open your Bible. You need to meditate on God's word, and you need to get your eyes on the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to rush into you, because we are coming into an era of influence, the body of Christ right now. I am stepping into an era of influence right now, and my influence is actually going well beyond the church right now. It's going into my community right now. I had the honor of receiving the Dennis Yurnell Inspiration Award from my city just a couple weeks ago. So the Inspiring Dude of the Year Award, that went to a pastor. Like that's unprecedented in our city. Here's the thing. If the people of God are willing to, if we're willing to host the presence of God, we are going to step into an influence, into a peace, because people are going to recognize the government that we are walking in, and they are going to be hungry for it. So there's so much opportunity right now. We're in a season of reformation and revolution within the church. But it shouldn't look anything like what it looks like in the world. We are not to be walking in the spirit of the world, drinking the wine of the world. This is an opportunity to step into the spirit of awakening and revival, which is the spirit of Christ Jesus. It's time to grab a hold of that courage, faith, and confidence, the peace of God. It's the apple of his eye anointing that we can step into right now. And I'm telling you, we're about to see things that we've never seen, not even in the history books. And I'm talking about the people of God.
That is amazing. That is awesome, Pastor. Now listen, we're going to take a quick little commercial break. When we come back, I cannot wait to hear the word that God has given you for the church. So hold on just a moment.
All right.
Hello, bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
All right, Bride, we're back. This is Dr. June Knight, your host. I'm so honored to be your host here at WATB Radio in Nashville, Tennessee. Right now, we're highlighting a great servant of the Lord, Darren Stott. He is from Seattle, Washington, Newcastle, Washington. All right, sir, go ahead and deliver the word of the Lord. We're so excited to hear it.
Well, again, thank you so much, Dr. June, for having me on your show. It's an honor to be here and just to be sharing what God's doing here in Seattle with all of your listeners. And so this has been a lot of fun. I was referring to Isaiah 60, and that's really what I wanted to share. So I'd like to read just a portion of Isaiah 60 and then share just a couple of points from that text. But before I do, I just wanted to also throw this out real quick. My website is just my name. It's darrenstott.com. And if your listeners go there, I'm really excited because I just launched this course. It's free. It's 11 high-definition videos on taking back the night and getting rid of fear that comes to bring nightmares and night terrors. So one of the things that's very common within the church is there's a lot of believers who wrestle with demonic torment even during the nighttime. And so they have nightmares, night terrors, night sweats, and they don't think that there's anything they can do about it. And they pray and nothing ever changes. And so that's a part of my story. As a kid, I used to have nightmares all the time, just horrible, horrible nightmares. It got so bad that I didn't even want to go to sleep at night. And I actually ended up shutting that realm down, the dream realm down. And then recently, a couple of years ago, the Lord invited me to open that realm back up. And now I'm stewarding the night and having dreams from the Lord. So this is free. There's no cost. It's 11 high-definition videos. It's my name, DarrenStott.com. And it's a community of people on there. There's chats on there. You can ask questions. And so I just invite your listeners to check it out, because I really have a passion to help people steward the dream realm. Because if you read the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the Lord uses dreams to lead, to guide, to bring warnings. But if the enemy is inhabiting our dream life, then most likely the Lord doesn't have that place, the bandwidth to come in and to really lead us and guide us and encourage us through our dreams. So I just wanted to throw that out real quick, because I think that's going to be a blessing to your listeners.
Yes.
Now, in Isaiah 60, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness upon the peoples." But, and I love that word, but. Everyone listening right now, if you're going through a time of difficulty, okay, if you're going through a time of stress and chaos, I want you to remember this big word, but. In fact, say it right now, but. Just declare it over yourself, but. But what? But the Lord will arise where? Upon you. So just declare it over yourself. I'm going through a rough time right now. Things are a little bit crazy right now. I don't even know what to do right now, but the Lord is arising upon me. So just declare that. The Lord, my God, is arising upon me. And what? And his glory will be seen upon you. So I want you to declare that over yourself right now. The glory of the Lord will be seen upon me.
Upon me.
Now, I want you to see this. In verse 3, something very significant takes place. "And the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." This is what it says. On such a people that host the glory of the Lord, they will become like magnets on the earth. And here's the thing about magnets. Apparently, they got these kind of magnets that are electrified. So they actually have voltage that connects to the magnet. And to the degree that voltage is connected to the magnet, they will become that much more magnetic. So they got these high-powered magnets. And this is what I think the Lord is actually doing on the earth. I think that there's been magnets on the earth that haven't been connected to the voltage. They haven't been connected to the power of God, which means that they haven't been magnetic. And so when you have people, and you have churches, and you have apostolic centers that are not connected to the power of God, they're not drawing believers, and they're not drawing unbelievers. So what do? Well, you've got to figure out a way to become attractional. And I think, to a great degree, the church has done a disservice to the world in the sense that the church has become kind of too secular for the world, meaning that we're using a lot of programs, a lot of gimmicks and widgets in order to become attractional. And I think that what the Lord is doing is he's encouraging, he's challenging the church right now to get connected again, to get plugged in again, so that the power of God can begin to flow again, so that the magnets on the earth can become magnetic again, so that the church will truly begin to draw believers and unbelievers again, So people start getting saved, delivered, healed. You know, the dead start coming back to life. Demons start coming out of people. That can only happen with the power of God. And Isaiah 60, it's fascinating. It's what it says, that with these type, with these prototype communities that host the glory of God, they will be so magnetic that they will literally attract nations and kings. And then in verse 4, it says, lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. And where do they come? They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be carried up on the hip. You shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of nations shall come to you. Do you see how this works? Not only do you begin attracting people, kings, your very own sons and daughters, but the glory of the Lord actually begins to attract wealth and prosperity as well. Meanwhile, and this is happening at the same time that great darkness is covering the earth. Do you see the contrast there? And so this is a invitation. I believe that Isaiah 60 is a gateway text that we can actually begin to enter into this, not just as a historical prophetic word released by Isaiah to Jerusalem, which that's what it is. This is a literal prophetic word from Isaiah to the Israelites. But it's also more than that. This is a prophetic doorway that we can enter into. This is an invitation to become a prototype community where we are literally getting lifted up. We are being exalted by the Lord. And so my question for everyone listening right now is, are you getting lifted up? Are you being lifted up by the Lord, or are you being pressed down by people? You see, when God lifts you up, this is what that word means in the Hebrew, to lift up. It's nesah, okay? That word nesah means to lift, to advance, to arise. It means to burn, to carry away. It means desire. It means to forgive, to flourish. It means to help. It means to honor, to magnify. It means to respect. It means literally to set up. And let me just declare this over some people today, that some of you, God is actually setting you up right now, even in the midst of what looks like tragedy. That the Lord, like some of you, you find yourself even in a Joseph season where you are hosting the promises of God in your heart, but you've been thrown into a pit by your brothers. And get ready, because this is your year when God's going to lift you up. He's going to advance you. He's going to bring you out of the pit and take you from the pit to the palace. When God lifts you up, when God lifts up his people, that means that he's going to deliver you, that heavenly justice is going to be executed on your behalf. And get ready, you guys, because God is going to actually and literally honor you this year. He's going to promote you this year. And the way we begin to engage with this text, with Isaiah 60, is we've got to stop looking for acceptance from people. We've got to stop looking for that lifting up from dudes, from organizations. Why? Because when we're looking for promotion from man, for acceptance from man, then we start fearing man instead of fearing God. And when that kind of lifting that comes from people, it's fleeting. It's never enough. It just promotes manipulative activity that stirs up that striving mentality where we're just trying to achieve, and earn and earn and earn. And I'm telling you, this promotion that's coming from heaven for the righteous this year, we engage it through grace, faith, and honor. So those are three keys: grace, faith, and honor. Grace, knowing that it's not by your good works. It's not that you're good enough, you're smart enough, you're holy enough. It's that Jesus, in his perfection, became all of your imperfections so that you could become the righteousness of Christ. That Jesus, who deserved unlimited acceptance, was rejected, so that you who deserve rejection could become infinitely accepted. So when you embrace grace, that's one of those keys needed in order to step into this Isaiah 60 lifting up, elevation, and promotion. Honor. Honor is the culture of heaven. And so many times, the culture of this earth is defined by dishonor. So I would encourage you that when you feel like you have the right to dishonor somebody, when you feel like you have the right to put somebody down, to realize that's the culture of this world. And not to engage with that, but to engage with the culture of heaven, which is the culture of honor, and say, I'm going to embrace grace. I'm going to honor those who deserve to be dishonored. That's the second key, that you can step into this place where you become a magnet. You become a part of this Isaiah 60 company, the bride of Christ, that you are shining when everybody else is gloom and discouraged and everybody else feels like giving up. You're going to be entertaining courage and hope on the earth. You're going to be a part of the company of people that's arising and shining and hosting the glory of God. And the third thing, really quick, it's faith. You know, desperation in and of itself will not unlock revival in your region. Okay?
Yes.
Hope in and of itself is great. But hope is just that eager anticipation. So hope will not necessarily unlock revival in your region. But faith, and it's Patricia King, you know, who brought this word on the key to revival is faith-filled prayer. That's when we start praying from this place of faith-filled prayers, instead of declaring that someday revival is going to come to our region, we start declaring, as of right now, we declare the Spirit of Christ Jesus is breaking loose in our region. Right now, as of today, the Spirit of Christ Jesus is breaking loose in our church and in my family. That when we start praying that way, now we're actually engaging with the spirit of faith. All of a sudden, things begin changing. You begin stepping into that Isaiah 60 place where you start arising and shining, giving God the glory. And these types of churches and people, these types of apostolic communities and ministries, they will be seen. They will be radiant. And then you just begin to engage with the rest of that text where even strangers, people that you've never even met before, they will show up. They will start sowing into you, sowing into your ministry, because you're hosting the presence of the Lord. You're engaging the Lord and this world in a countercultural way, where you're the same in some sort of sense, and yet you're radically different. And so people look at Darren Stott and they say, Darren, you're the same as me. Like you eat food and you watch movies and you enjoy music and you're doing life, and yet you're radically different than me. What is it that sets you apart? You're shining. You're magnetic.
Right.
What is that? It's that Isaiah 60 anointing. And so that's what I believe. I think right now it's the moment of opportunity. I would encourage everybody right now to engage with the opportunity of heaven. You have an open window of opportunity, and you engage it through grace. You engage it through faith and through honor. And as you engage, the presence of the Lord will begin to explode within you. It'll begin to change you and your communities from the inside out.
Well, sir, I'm going to tell you what, boy, the Holy Spirit is so awesome. You are just right in it, right in the midst of what God is saying to the church today. And the church, we receive this today by the Spirit, that promotions is coming. We are going from the pit to the palace. Lord, we just thank you so much, God, for giving us this word and confirming your word. That is what is so awesome about the Holy Spirit. Now, Pastor, I would love for you to allow the bride to pray for you and to pray for your vision for a minute. And we, every broadcast, we ask that all of our listeners and viewers would bow their heads and partner with us and with heaven for what God is doing in your life and in your vision and in your future. Amen.
Amen. That would be wonderful.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just come to you together today, Lord, your church. And we ask you, God, to fulfill, and well, we're in agreement with you and your word, to fulfill all of the vision you have placed on the inside of Darren Stott. We thank you, Lord, for his family genealogy, Lord. We thank you for what you did to his grandpa, to save his grandpa, Lord, to change the course of his DNA, to change the course of his family line, God. How you changed that man, we thank you for it, Lord, that he made the right decision. Lord, we thank you for his father. Lord, what you did in that man, Lord, and the story that he had to tell, Lord, and the battles that he went through, God, to obey you, and the struggles he went through. You know his story, Lord, and he's up there celebrating with you now. And, Lord, he is in agreement with you, Lord, over Darren's destiny, Darren's calling, his purpose upon the earth, Lord. And your church surrounds Darren right now in the spirit, lifting him up to the throne room, Lord, holding up his arms right now, asking you, God, and partnering with you to give him everything that he is going to need to accomplish that vision upon the earth, Lord, giving him downloads from heaven, Lord, his impartations from heaven, all the spiritual gifts he's going to need, Lord, all of the provision that he's going to need that's already there, already stored up, Lord. We just come in agreement with heaven and pull that down into the earthly realm for him to be able to fulfill the destiny that you have called him to, Lord. We thank you for the greatness that's on the inside of Darren, Lord, and for Darren having the courage to say yes to your destiny, to say yes to your will, Lord. And now he's got all these people, these like 6,000 people that are following him, that are partnering with him on this journey of life, Lord. So the bride comes together in agreement because your word says when we do that prayer will be answered. And we thank you, Lord, because you love the incense of the prayers before the throne right now, God. So we just thank you and give you praise for his life. We pray for his wife. We pray, God, strength in the wife's body, Lord. We pray health and healing over his wife, Lord, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. Give her wisdom in how to raise those children up as men and women of the Lord with destiny and purpose as their forefront, God. Give her the wisdom on how to back up her husband in the spirit, Lord, because we know that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but it's with the principalities and the powers of the air. Lord, we thank you for sending him intercessors, Lord, people that are partnering with heaven, fighting for him, keeping the devil and the wolves away from him, Lord, so that he may press forward in the kingdom of heaven on earth in all ferocity and all force that you want him to do it in, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for expanding his borders, Lord, expanding his voice, Lord, expanding his territory, God. We thank you for divine connections coming to him, Lord, that will catapult him, Lord, from the next to this level to the next level. God, we thank you for giving him favor in his city, Lord, favor with the government, favor with other ministries, Lord, favor with media, Lord. Let him take that media mountain for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for him being on the broadcast today, Lord, and releasing the manna of heaven to the bride today, God. We receive it, Lord. Help us all,
yes,
Lord, to go from the pit to the palace and to accomplish your will on the earth, Lord. So we thank you and give you praise for everything that you're doing in his life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor.
Amen.
For praying for our ministry and then praying for the bride and whatever the Holy Ghost asks you to pray for.
Absolutely. Father, thank you so much for Dr. June. Thank you for what she's been hosting here, Father, and her desire to promote and connect revivalists all across the nation and all across the nations. And well, I just pray that you would just encourage Dr. June today and the dreams and desires and what she's been holding in her heart, and even the stuff that she's done, which has been amazing, as well as the vision that she hasn't even shared yet, the things that she's been longing to see established through her that she hasn't even made known yet. And Father, we thank you for your desires that you've embedded within Dr. June's heart. And Lord, I thank you that this is a year where people are becoming pregnant with vision. And Lord, I just thank you that Dr. June is full of vision, full of desire to see your kingdom established on the earth. So I just bless her. I just pray that you come and strengthen her today. Come and refresh her today. Just come and encourage her today. I pray that there'd be the kind of such radical joy that it would so strengthen her today, that she'd be strengthened by your grace today. Lord, that she would feel lifted up today, Lord. That she would feel like she's being just promoted in the spirit today. Like she'd feel like she's just leveling up, coming up a level. And so, Father, I just decree the greatness of God over Dr. June today, over her family, Lord, or over her friends. And I bless those that she blesses. And, Father, I just thank you for the bride of Christ. I thank you for the company of believers that are contending for your presence on the earth. Father, I thank you that you are honoring the hunger within your saints today, that you're showing up and you're showing off. And Father, I pray for each and every person listening today that they would step into a season of encounters with you, that they would step into a season of demonstration, that there would be a declaration that's followed by an immediate demonstration. I pray for Acts 2 suddenly moments, that suddenly the wind would come, the fire would come. Lord, that tongues of fire would even come and rest down. Lord, I thank you that there is an anointing for revival right now, but it's going so quickly. It's leading into harvest. This whole thing is going harvest. And Father, I just thank you for this ministry, for We Are the Bride Ministries. And I thank you for everybody that's partnering with this ministry. And Lord, I just pray that that where there's been frustration, that you would come and displace frustration, replace it with rest. And Lord, that where there's been anxiousness, that you would come and displace all anxiousness. And I just declare peace and shalom. That where there's been striving and religious striving, that your grace would come. And that from a place of identity and our certainty of sonship, that there would just come that kind of place where we can live out of that place of knowing that we are sons and daughters on the earth. And Father, I just thank you for everything that's been said and done today. And Father, I just pray that these words would be like seed today, and that there would be a wonderful harvest of righteousness that is reaped because of the word that's been released this morning, that you would come, Father, that you would honor your word today, that lives would be changed because of this hour that we've spent together this morning. In your precious name we pray, amen, 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 amen.
Amen, Pastor. You have a blessed day. Thank you so much for giving us an hour of your time. I know you're very busy.
It was an honor. Thank you so much for having me on your show. God bless you, everything that you're doing. Really excited about what God's doing through you, through your writing, through your books, through your radio ministry. It's cool. So just go for it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.